This is Fuji Love, a podcast for Fujifilm X users from around the globe. Here are your hosts, Tomash and Fran.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the second episode of the Fuji Love podcast. The first episode we recorded it 2 weeks ago, and I just checked today, we had almost 1,800 downloads of the first episode.
That's good. For
which is not bad, I think, right?
Yeah,
thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone who downloaded the first episode. And first of all, thank you for your feedback. We received many valuable, you know, and constructive pieces of advice when it comes to audio and the length of the podcast and the topics we are gonna to cover. We are working hard here to improve things. One of the main concerns was the audio quality, and we noticed it ourselves. Our voices were a bit too small. Today we are trying to do it a bit better. I have some other piece of software, and
in real life we sound much better than
the coffee is still the same. The coffee is very, very good.
Thank you.
And we have also one more nice surprise today. We have our first guest on the show. And we'll introduce him in a minute. Frank, how have you been doing these 2 weeks?
Oh, good.
You take some pictures?
Yeah, I did. I went out on a Sunday morning, got out of bed at 4:30.
Whoa.
Went to the island of Halbinsel. It's a half an island.
Where is it? Here.
Yeah, it's in Zurich, see?
Okay.
Lake of Zurich. And I made some wonderful pictures that morning.
Post them in the group. People are waiting, Frank.
Yeah, I will. It's amazing. It's a long shutter speed, and the sun was still under the horizon.
Okay, some long exposures.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I really should get out more.
And we also met once with Frank for a short city walk, photo walk, and showed some architecture. And our guest, we have a special guest today here with us. Marcel Weber is from Fujifilm Switzerland. So we have a Fujifilm guy here, guys. So let's expect some valuable input. Welcome, Marcel. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Thanks for the invitation. I'm happy to be with you guys. It's the first time I see Frank. Tomasz, we know each other since 4 years, probably.
Oh, well, is it four?
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy to be here, and let's have a nice talk, discussion.
Great, great.
In a beautiful atmosphere.
Thank you.
So you work at Fujifilm Switzerland. Can you tell us just shortly, you know, what are you doing at Fujifilm Switzerland? How does Fujifilm Switzerland function? And
Well, we function quite easy, and I joined Fujifilm Switzerland 15 months ago, so in 2014, October, September, yeah, just 3 weeks before last Photokina, and my position is I'm acting as a key account manager, so actually as a sales representative, so I'm taking care for the customers and photographers here in the German part of Switzerland. I'm very, very deeply involved with using and promoting our products to the customers, to the dealers, but also to the users. And this is actually the good and fun part, because I am really involved and in touch with the users. So I receive the feedbacks directly from the users.
That's great, yeah.
And we can learn a lot from them, what they are doing, what their expectations are, and what they needs are for probably future products. And we do not only try, but we do collect all these informations and feedbacks. And for sure, we do provide them to Europe or also to guys from Japan.
Let me jump in here for a moment. I think it's very important point here. You said you are listening to the customers, to the users of the Fuji, of the cameras. We all know this is one of the of of those sides of the whole Fujifilm system. The company, the Fujifilm's actually listening to the users. That's what the users really like about it. We complain, we ask for features, we comment on the button layouts, and Fujifilm is actually listening. So this is one of those great things which we are enjoying. With is this something which is a like a company concept which you are being also kind of trained about, informed, and asked from Fujifilm, or is it just happens spontaneously?
I think if you produce products for users, for consumer products at the end, and or also professional products, I mean, actually each manufacturer in each field should listen to the users, because we are producing, or Fujifilm is producing, or all the manufacturers are producing for the users. So it is a mandatory to understand and to know what they want and what they request.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
But in that case, I would say the Fujifilm ears are a bit cleaner than the
Thanks.
Other.
I appreciate this feedback.
If you would try to describe the philosophy, character, the idea and direction of Fujifilm as a company, as a camera company, how would you try to? I mean, how does Fujifilm differentiate itself from other brands? Is there something special you guys are thinking about? Approaching these things different way, what would you say? Why is Fujifilm different, and where?
Good question.
That's
probably
a question.
No, I think probably is that we are really authentic. That probably from the heart of the company in Japan, it's spread to all the countries on the different continents, and I think this is the key. That you carry the emotion and the heritage out to the countries, to the companies, to the subsidiaries, mm-hmm. and especially then to the sales and marketing people and to the users. And I'm not sure how much we differentiate to our competitors, mm-hmm. but as I learned is that within the Fujifilm company, photography is just a minor part. Mm-hmm. And we are more an industrial company, and we just left the mass market, and we entered a niche market. So we are mm-hmm. We really know about the potential we do have, and we know that we can't convince all the needs mm-hmm. of the people. And this is why we are
so specifically targeting
a niche
okay.
market. Yeah, that's true. And within this niche, we try to give our best and to perform
okay.
on a very high
and
level.
Then now when it comes to the cameras themselves, really to the system, Fuji X system. Okay, it's a mirrorless system. There are a couple of them on the market.
Mm.
If you would have to convince someone, if you would have to convince Freck, he has one camera, X100S, if he would like to try to convince him, you know, to get another, to get really, to buy into the system, what would you say? What's the core of the system? What's this attractive thing?
I think one important thing is that we don't talk too much about technology mm-hmm. and technical specifications. Mm-hmm. What we did in Switzerland, we produced a photo book with pictures we took with three or four different cameras with the same sensor. So X100S, for example, also the XM and the XE2, for example. So all those cameras has the same sensor.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to places within Switzerland, and we took pictures at four different daytimes. So early in the morning on the market, then indoor and in a shopping mall, blue hour, and in the night, just to show about the performance of the sensor and the high ISO quality, and for sure the color quality. And we don't speak too much about the techniques, but we let the images speak.
The images speak.
So people know, okay, those pictures I'm showing to them are taken in an area they have easy access to do the same. So it's not photoshopped catalogs from somewhere in this world where we don't know with how many or how much post-processing it was used and produced. So we show, look, this was at 7 o'clock at the market on a Wednesday morning in Zurich. You can easy go there. And it was just out of the camera quality. Yeah. JPEGs, nothing changed at the settings. Yeah. Only ISO, only speed and aperture. Uh-huh. That's it. And this must convince the people who are interested or not. So if they say, wow, this is a quality I really like, I actually request from a camera, then they're convinced by themselves because of the quality of pictures. Because this is what we want to achieve at the end, nice pictures. Mm-hmm. And not like podcasts and a lot of talks about technique and technology. I mean, it's, it's interesting. Yeah.
I'm absolutely getting what
you... But why we buy cameras, why we buy photographic gear, just to go out or to stay in, but record and capture and pictures.
I think it's a great takeaway here, right? Just that you can actually take your camera, you know, and in case of Fujifilm, small camera, put it in your pocket, go out in front of your door, on your street, your park next door, and actually take amazing pictures. And we talked about it last week. The Fujifilm JPEG files, it means the files straight from the camera, are great. So in many cases, you really, if you know what you are doing, you are really getting a picture in the camera. You download, you can print it, you can make it a book, send it to your family, friends, and there is not so much work involved. And it comes to the point where it's just about photography, and this is a beautiful thing about Freck, there are some. Photography is the most beautiful thing. We all agree, but there are some.
The most beautiful thing.
Well,
almost.
There are some other nice parts of life.
Drinking coffee.
Drinking coffee is also one of the best.
But still, there are some. Okay, there are some technical aspects. People prefer or like, you know, photographing different things, and there are moments where technology can help, can't help, or can disturb. And you have a question. When we look at the Fujifilm X system, there is something which maybe Frank, you take it, you know, about the zoom lenses and about the sport photography. There is something you want to ask about.
Yeah, I looked at the lineup for the objectives, the lenses, and what I saw, you don't go any higher than 200 mil. So I was wondering, my girls are playing field hockey.
Okay. Yeah.
And with my 770 to 200, I can cope half the field. Yeah. They're juniors, so they play half of the field. But the junior of the senior teams, they play in the big field.
Okay.
So I have it to 200 to 500 mil to cover it, to get to the goal at the other side. Does Fujifilm have something in that range?
We do have a 230 millimeter, actually, the XC, so we go a bit higher than 200 in the current lineup. Yeah, we do have already announced also in our roadmap that we will come up with a telezoom lens in a very, 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 very near future. And we are talking about 100 to 400 millimeter. And I think this would be the one you are expecting and requesting from. Mm-hmm. Yes. And
what will be the aperture on this lens? Do we know it?
Well,
I think we are looking at it. It was not yet on the roadmap. Was not stated.
Yeah, we. I think we had 140 to 400. Now it's 100 to 400, and it was a discussion about 4 or 4.5, and we will see with which.
And it will be a light lens in terms of aperture. You know, f stop. You know, do we know at least 3.5 to 2.8 or? You know, the aperture of the lens, is it already decided?
We did not disclose so far.
It's
I
not
think.
Disclosed. Yeah.
And but it has to be somewhere like 4 or 4.5, and probably to 5.6. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
And we just announced the 1.4 teleconverter. And this teleconverter is also usable with the future lens, with the future telezoom lens.
Okay,
so even then...
Almost 600.
Then. Could, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Here one question we're trying to figure it out last 2 weeks ago. Are you losing light with this teleconverter?
Yes.
How many stops do you know?
It's one.
It's one stop?
Yeah. And with the new firmware update, so I just checked it with the XA1 together with the XF40 to 140. It's a 2.8. And after the firmware update of the lens, 5140, and with using the teleconverter in between, it shows in the camera not 2.8 anymore, so it's 4.
So it's actually effectively showing you what
Yes, exactly,
great.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good.
So there's hope, Frank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it's not the hope. It's the reality.
It's
a fact. Exactly. Much, much lighter than probably yours you're using right now.
Yeah, the big gun.
The big gun.
Yeah, actually, it's really heavy.
All
so.
The birds flying away when you show up. With your big lens.
You have to be pretty strong. I use a monopod, of course, because otherwise, they're not playing that long. It's 4 times 8 minutes or so. But if you handheld it, you get a sore arm after a couple of minutes. And it's hard to stabilize the camera.
That's true,
It's just bobbling.
Well, you can push your ISO a bit higher.
Yeah, you can, of course.
And with our sensor, you will be convinced.
Marcel, do you have insight into, I don't know if it's Switzerland or like international Fujifilm, you know, users, into what, who are the Fujifilm users in terms of what they are doing photographically? Do you know, most of Fujifilm users are, I don't know, into landscape, most are into street, or do you know? Something about it?
Honestly, no, I don't know, because there are quite many already using our products. I'm just sure about that. If someone is considering buying a camera, I think we really approach the people who have photography as a hobby. So they are photoholics or enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm.
Really amateurs. I think we do not approach the target group who is considering, I should buy a camera because I use it 3 or 4 times a year for this birthday and maybe for Christmas and probably for 1 or 2 weeks summer vacation.
Mm.
I think we are not targeting this group. So we do really the enthusiasts convince with our products because they are outside, they are outdoor for taking and capturing pictures, and they really care about the weight and the size. And this is actually why many of them choose our product. And for sure, it's for landscape, it's for portrait.
Mm.
And we also have quite a few wedding photographer, and mostly people who travel because you have the restrictions in terms of cabin bag.
Luggage size,
that's right.
Mm.
And even people, they travel a lot to probably very corners in the world. They're very far away and not so easy reachable. And they really have to think about what they want to bring and what they want to carry with. And some professionals, they travel with 2 big bodies and 3 or 4 lenses and... spare batteries and tripods and
some flashes.
That's right. And now they can really resize their photographic gear, and they do consider to probably jump to a new system, to a smaller system, in addition or as a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And there is more and more professional photographers. I mean, people making a living with photography using the systems, right?
Yeah, they are, definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really interesting part as well, because, for instance, in Switzerland, we do have direct contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very interesting,
mm-hmm.
how they use it and or probably that their workflow changed thanks to the new gear they mm-hmm. they bought and are using. Like most of them are or were former DSLR users and photographers, and they were convinced after a while using a mirrorless camera with a live view function in the viewfinder. And I spoke to three photographers in the last 3 weeks, and all of them told me that since they are using a mirrorless camera with a viewfinder, mm-hmm. live viewfinder, they shoot 40 to 65% less pictures mm-hmm. because they see, before they capture the photo, they see already the result, how it will be, how mm-hmm. it will come out in the viewfinder. So for the post-production, they're gaining time.
You are saving time everywhere.
Yes.
Post-production, in the field.
Absolutely.
That's great,
Well, it is a new technology. It's a new usage for those people. But after a while, they get used to
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to miss it anymore to have such a viewfinder.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the viewfinder is good. That's...
Which in case of Fujifilm is, we have some nice viewfinders there, I must say.
Yeah, and there is some margin to improve, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's technology. This is a technology we really can improve, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.
Or we all can improve, all the manufacturers, not only Fujifilm.
Something for me. I wear glasses.
Yeah.
Not too strong, -2. But, but I find myself, when I'm looking in the viewfinder
mm-hmm.
for half an hour with one eye closed,
yeah.
I get really dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
I get my vision is blurry, and I really have to not photograph for half an hour to get it straight again.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, of course, the same feature you can achieve. I mean, if you are, for example, a landscape photographer, the same preview kind of thing you can also have on the back LCD screen.
Definitely,
of course.
Yes.
So if you put it on a tripod, you know,
you're
preparing the scene, landscape, your camera on the tripod, and you are just really actually nailing it.
Yeah, that's
in the camera. That's the whole.
Yeah, you can do this also with the DSLR for sure.
This you can do,
with the LCD, with the live view.
Live view.
It's just with the slow focusing, mm-hmm, probably, but in landscape, it's fine.
Mm-hmm,
it's not so important to fast focus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. That's,
I was discussing with a friend, we had this on television, the 3D goggles, how do you call it?
Google Glass, what is it?
Yeah, Samsung has something like this, and then Google.
How cool it would be if you could hook up your camera with that system, so you in a room and just see through your camera what your camera is seeing. That would be great.
So you mean walking around and the camera is there, but you're actually seeing it
through the camera, so you can adjust it. You can.
You're sitting inside in a cozy, warm room.
Yeah,
and the camera is standing outside.
It's a bit like that shooting, but then you have it on the laptop. But now you have it.
Yeah, actually, it's not a question of the camera manufacturer. Actually, we do have it with the remote control, with the remote application on our mobile phones.
Okay.
And I think just Samsung announced or was showing, I just saw it two weeks ago at a digital event in Baden, that you can place your mobile phone into this glass.
Okay.
And when you use the remote application, actually, it works already today.
Okay, good.
Via Wi-Fi connection. So you place your camera on
things like that
one area, and you walk around.
Adjusting.
Yeah. So by the way, those of you guys who don't know about it, there are Fujifilm apps. They're working on the iPhone, the Android as well.
Yes.
Okay. Where you can hook it up. You hook up your mobile phone through the Wi-Fi, which most of the cameras, Fujifilm cameras, already have. You connect it with your camera. And you are basically steering your camera from your phone. You can focus, you can adjust exposure. Basically,
most of the important parts of this. Yeah, that's right.
So this is really a useful feature. Yeah.
But then you can't make any changes on the camera itself.
Of course.
So then it's really steered by your mobile
phone.
Yes.
How often do you visit Japan and the Fujifilm headquarters? Do you guys here in Switzerland? Are you in a tight contact with them?
It could be tighter sometimes because it's a matter of fact that we are an independent Fujifilm distributor. So we are the only one, the official one in Switzerland. So we do not belong legally to Fujifilm Europe. Mm-hmm. We do have direct contracts with Fujifilm in Japan. And for sure, we do have exchange and communication. But we started to visit Japan, I wouldn't say on a regular basis because it was first time this year.
Okay.
but we can plan as or doing it as a on a regular basis.
Okay.
I'd love to because I really love Japan and I like the city Tokyo is. And the next visit is already planned. So we are planning to go there in January. And for sure, I will extend my stay on mm-hmm. a private base.
Okay.
Just if you do such a long journey to such a beautiful country,
makes sense.
Take some pictures.
Take, of course.
And this is the other subject we are coming to. What about photography? But before I want to also ask, Fujifilm in Japan, the headquarters, when you talk to them, how protective or how revealing and open they are about when it comes to talking about the products. Can you talk to them or do you have to as a distributor actually to discuss things with them or in other words, we are putting you a bit at the wall here.
I don't feel like that.
Than we know in terms of upcoming products, upcoming lenses and what we know is the roadmap,
yes.
Officially, right? Fujifilm has its roadmap where you can see what kind of lens, what kind of camera is coming, when, next year. Sometimes it's 2 years advance even on the roadmap. Is there more? We are not asking you for any particular, because you can, of course, understand this is confidential information. But just to know, as a distributor, are you in touch with them in terms of developing the products or feedback?
Yeah, we are in contact, but I think not that deep as the subsidiaries are, for mm-hmm. sure, and for obvious reasons, for sure. And but honestly, I have to say, as I have a bit of experience also with another Japanese camera manufacturer I was working for
mm-hmm.
for more than 10 years, I think within Fujifilm, the guys are quite open within this certain circle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really interesting because, we do talk about the products. We do talk about future or what would be possible, what might be possible, what might be good.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end, we taking part of a market and we are producing for the users and it's not like it would be great if we could do this or that. We have to think also economically what really makes sense and as a company
it's and, a business to have stability.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But not like that we or as far as I know, I'm just a key account manager. I'm not in the management for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I don't know if our CEO or our sales or the marketing people are involved with future products. I don't know that, to be honest.
Okay.
But so far, when we meet together, probably in Germany, in the European headquarter, or also probably in Tokyo we did this year, we talk about products and potential, but not
ideas,
really on a
concrete basis. Okay.
Basis, yeah.
Okay, then I will ask this question differently. What's your intuition telling you? The community of Fujifilm users worldwide is waiting for the X-Pro 2, but
mm-hmm.
we are waiting for hopefully for some maybe. For a Fujifilm flash, what's your intuition telling you? Are those things on the horizon? Are they coming? Now I'm asking you just privately as a Fujifilm user because you also shoot yourself, so
yes,
you are also interested in this stuff.
Well, there are solutions outside of Fujifilm in terms of light and flash and
mm-hmm.
studio equipment for sure. And I mean,
you're using because I saw you once with the flash, right?
Yes.
Which one are you using?
Yongnuo.
Yongnuo.
Yeah, right.
Yongnuo.
Yeah,
however you pronounce it. You have them as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Freck, how are those flash? I mean, I'm not a flash user, but there are situations I need a flash, and this is still on my shopping list, so I want to make a decision. And are you satisfied with those?
Yeah, I bought mine, the first one, 4 years ago. Three flashes, three triggers, but that was only manual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was great. Because you.
But
really,
honestly speaking, if you really know how to deal with light, you anyway work on a manual.
Yeah,
basis.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you only have manual,
yeah.
You have to.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you make mistakes. You're overexposing, underexposing. You know,
yeah.
And then you start fiddling around, moving the flash closer, further away, dial up, dial down. Settings, camera settings, and that way you really appreciate flash, and you're really learning how to use flash.
Mm-hmm.
I recently bought some new ones with TTL support, high sync support. I think they build better now. It works fine,
yeah.
But I'm used to using manual, and I love manual because then you really know what you're doing. And with TTL, it's great,
mm-hmm.
but you have no idea.
Yeah, when you have time, you know.
Of course.
If you go to an event and you have to shoot.
Like a wedding, and you just have to shoot, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And probably you have one person or a couple in front of you and then 10 people again,
mm-hmm.
and just in the same minute, then you really need TTL,
mm-hmm.
no
yeah.
doubt. Then you can't do it manually. You can do it manually, but you lose
mm-hmm.
such many...
Yeah.
times and moments. So we are sure we have to show up with a TTL or with a
no, that's
off-camera TTL
absolutely
solution.
True, right?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had to go to the flashes and set the flash power manual there. So
well, there is a remote solution.
There is, but I didn't have that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now
you
I have
a
but then
oh,
didn't
you
have
do it.
It.
Yeah,
so if you have three flashes, you
device.
Have to walk.
Yeah.
You're just and one.
Oh, so of the Fujifilm flashes which are available now, the Fujifilm flashes,
yes.
They work in a TTL system with.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
yeah.
but on the camera itself.
Just
yeah,
on
the
camera
hot
itself.
Yes.
Or you
yes.
can you connect them with a cord like you.
Yeah,
know,
there is a Canon cord you
okay.
can use. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What should we talk about?
Yeah, you were.
By the way,
you were asking about the horizon. If there is something on the horizon,
right.
Yeah, there is. Of course. I mean, we are talking about a system. So,
but not, it's not a sunset.
No, it's the sunrise. Even it's foggy today outside. We yeah. No, no.
The
near future and also the midterm future is really bright. We are we're really happy what will come, and it will come. Yeah, nice things, definitely.
Okay.
And we also have to be sure about one thing. I mean, we started almost like 5 years ago with the X series.
Mm-hmm.
And some other manufacturers doing this for 70 years and more. We also are in the photography business since 80 years, no doubt.
Right.
But in terms of establishing a
camera brand.
Yeah, a system.
System.
We came from far, but we did a lot in the last 4 to 5 years. And for sure, we were aware to offer a nice line of lenses, because this is mandatory or even more important than having 4, 5, or 6 bodies. So and as we are a small or a little manufacturer within the photography, it takes a bit of time, and it's better to wait probably 6 months or 8 months or 10 months, but at the end we are convinced that the products they are coming, they are in a very high and good quality.
Yeah.
I think this is more important than
sure.
just quantity.
Yeah.
And but next year 2016 will be definitely a nice
an exciting year.
Yes.
And what are you photographically into? You photograph yourself,
I do,
right?
Yeah, I do.
What do you do? What are your things? What is your thing?
I really love to do portrait. And also, I mean, street scenes, not as a street photographer, but if I stand for about 2 or 3 minutes and at a corner of a street corner, mm-hmm. and I just look around me, it happens so much. You see a fancy car, you see funny fashioned people, you have different light and different scenes just on one spot. And yeah, this is nice to soak up and soak in. And I just have my camera with me, probably only with one specific
lens
mm-hmm.
or okay, yeah, fixed lens.
Yeah, mostly fixed lens. Yeah, mine is the 35 1.4. I really love it. And then you just stay there and wait what's gonna happen. And for this you don't need like 2 or 3 hours, you just 2 or 3 minutes and you find your next subject.
This is great, absolutely. The Marcel is giving you guys a great piece of advice. I mean, I'm trying it myself. We talked 2 weeks ago, right, Frank, about finding motivation, finding the idea what to shoot, which direction. Sometimes I'm doing this exercise myself. I'm just at any given moment, wherever I am at this any given moment, I'm telling myself, okay, I'm taking my camera in the hand. And you know, you can think about it, can be a place which looks completely boring, like there is nothing happening. But I am telling myself, no, I am standing now here, nowhere else, not moving my not making a step. And I have to look for the best, the most interesting possible picture, wherever I am. And this is a great exercise. So this is kind of similar.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Where you are, just look around. There's always a picture.
And you can train your eye as well. So look about a specific form or structure or a light or colors. And this is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, in a city or where people are around, it's probably easier because it's moving, mm-hmm. and something is coming into your lens or walking out again, rather than being, I don't know, probably in an apartment and looking around, okay, what can I shoot today?
But more difficult in the city because there is so much happening.
That's true, but you have to concentrate on something.
It's hard to pick one.
Yes,
and,
but
you only focus on the global scale, just what's going on. Mm-hmm. And if you take your time, you take your piece and you're just standing there, you're zooming in on a much more detailed level.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see things that you normally don't see because you're just...
Yes, of course. But if you concentrate on something, like, you know, okay, you're living in a nice area in Lucerne. So if you say, okay, let's go now in about 1 hour, we're going downtown to Lucerne and we just set a target that we all only concentrate probably on people on a bicycle. That we do not being distracted from other scenes, you know? So setting a target, today I want to shoot people with blue shoes. And we do not look about any people wearing red clothes or red shoes. Mm-hmm. Just doing
so really
this.
Limiting yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
And that was our last challenge from last
that
week.
That was our, yeah, let's can we interrupt just for a second?
Sure.
Let's jump in. On the last episode, 2 weeks ago, we gave our listeners an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
The assignment, it was Frank's idea. Maybe Frank, you take it.
Well, to shoot something yellow, and it sounds easy enough. But yellow is kind of difficult color. Red is a signal color. You see red everywhere.
Right, yeah.
But yellow is no. And especially in Switzerland.
Where the sun never shines.
The sun does shine, but they don't like colors.
Not so bad.
You will have a really hard time photographing a yellow car. All the cars in Switzerland are black,
gray
or white.
White.
And those
that's
are colors,
true.
I know, but
we do have the public transport.
We have the post buses,
yes,
which are
yellow.
Right.
Specific yellow color.
Exactly. Yeah.
Some of you guys posted the pictures in the group, and we are very thankful for this. You know, the whole idea has to take off. So we are. We would really like to thank personally. We have a picture from Kevin Long.
We have a great picture.
It's a great picture of actually they're yes, just a bit of yellow. The red leaves, and with this little splash of yellow. I really like this picture actually. It's a nice kind of macro shot, right?
Yeah.
We have a picture. We have a photograph from Jeremy
Solesby. Yeah.
Of, as I'm assuming, is Jeremy's daughter, running. Is it a
playing at the ranch?
Yeah, ranch. It's kind of like a this kind of machine, a field.
It's in the field. Yeah.
It's, yeah. And Andrew De Mora sent us a This is a can't get more yellow, right?
Sunflowers.
This is kind of an HDR shot, I think, right? Of sunflowers. So very very nice shots. That's you guys go over to our Facebook group, search for FujiLove Facebook group, and then you can search for the tag FujiLove Yellow.
Hashtag
so you will hashtag FujiLove Yellow, and you can have a look at those images. And today, because we have Marcel on the show,
I just dropped
you were just
word.
Talking about two things, about a bicycle and about a blue shoes.
For instance.
We choose one of those and it will become our next assignment. What should we do? Which one should we go with?
Bicycle.
Bicycle?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys.
Because blue shoes could be also blues. Shoes, which is very tricky to shoot.
You can also go for you can look for people in blue shoes on a bicycle, but this is too much.
On the blue bike, on the yellow bicycle.
Okay, our next assignment is
to IKEA. The sign is yellow. Yeah, yeah, bicycle.
No advertisement on the show. They are not paying us yet, right?
Seriously, where is this
IKEA,
table coming
hello?
From? Where is this table coming from? Where did you buy it?
This is well.
It's not IKEA.
No, it's
from the Netherlands.
Let's concentrate. Next assignment: bicycle.
Yeah.
You guys go out and look for bicycles. You can look for details for people on the riding bicycles.
If you want to, I can upload one picture.
Absolutely.
Three weeks ago in Bern.
Yeah, you participate in the assignment yourself.
Yes,
so,
I do. Yeah.
So you guys go to FujiLove Facebook group, post your picture and hashtag it FujiLove bicycle.
Exactly.
And as usual, we will look at the images and discuss them on the next episode.
Perfect.
I think it's time for a short break, right, guys?
Is
just
it
a short break?
Another coffee.
Another coffee, and we'll be back.
Okay.
In a minute. Coffee is good, right?
Yes.
It's even better than 2 weeks ago, I would say. What's the difference? You're back to Nespresso now?
No. Probably different beans. Nespresso thing.
Okay, here we are after the break. And it's we are at 40 minutes now. I think it's slowly time to wrap up this second episode. But Freek has one more thing he wants to talk about with Marcel, all right?
No, with you actually.
Oh, with me. Oh,
yeah.
You can go. No, I'm just.
You're welcome.
So I can pour some sugar in my coffee. And...
Now, as a token of my appreciation for being involved in all this, I have a little gift for you. Because I know you like photography so much.
What's
I
this?
Want to give you this.
I mean, we should switch to video now.
Now I will put it on the.
So Freek just handed over to me an envelope. It's a big envelope. I'm opening. Let's see. I have assumption, but by the way, great photographer. I mean, look around. This is Freek's photos.
I saw them.
And I think I discovered one photo of Freek's, and I told him I really loved it. And I have the feeling
it could be
that shot.
It is.
It is. Wow!
Wow!
Look at this.
Beautiful.
Guys, okay. This
I
time
put it on the website.
This guy,
so you can
this time
it.
We'll really do it. When you're listening to this show, to this episode, make sure you go online on FujiLove.com. You know, there'll be posts about the podcast, about Marcel, maybe Marcel, you share a photo of yourself with us?
I'm gonna share one, yeah.
Okay,
the
great.
Bicycle.
No, I mean
one
a photo of you. We wanna show
of
you
me.
To our listeners. It's not good.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I will have some pictures taken now,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then we'll share this photo of Freck. This is a photo of your daughter.
Yes, yes,
she's
Louise.
Mm-hmm.
She's preparing for ballet lesson.
Wow.
It's an amazing black and white picture. So
yeah.
You guys make sure this photo is now online in the podcast post.
Did you print it on Barrett paper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
May I ask which labor?
It's a Whitewall, Germany.
Whitewall.
Okay.
A Whitewall.
You can try Fuji film service.
I know you have a lab as well.
We do have, yeah.
Okay.
You're offering different kinds of paper.
We're also providing a white wall with nice Fuji paper.
Okay.
Is it
a Barrett.
Yeah. This shot is.
I also tried one.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
It's beautiful.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now, I think all photographs deserve to be printed.
That's a very important and good point. Seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seriously.
You never know how long it will last on your hard disk, and if it lives on your hard disk, no one's going to see it, and it has a different feel about it.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you look at the screen, it looks fantastic. It's great, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's something about paper holding in your hands. You can smell it. You can feel
it.
It, it
more
it's,
personal.
Absolutely.
Especially right now, as a gift, he wasn't expecting to receive it.
This is an amazing woman. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a nice part, because he said once, wow, that's a nice shot, that's a really nice picture, and you actually store that in your mind, and you saw him again, and you make him this as a gift, as a paper print. It's a nice
and
move.
Also the moment when exactly like for you now, I mean, I know it also myself, you for sure, when you are the one giving this print, it's like you know how much energy, how much, you know, feelings and emotions you put into actually taking this shot, if it's something really special and personal for you, and then giving this shot as a physical, tangible thing, as a print to another person, it's like, you know, it's like a sharing a part of you with this person, and it stays with the person. It's hanging on the wall. The person is looking. There's this connection which we can't have, of course, when somebody just gives a glimpse, you know, on a monitor, and then forgets about the picture. The picture is staying. As a print, the picture is staying around. This is the
absolutely
very, very nice thing.
Or bring it into a book.
Yeah.
For instance. Because if you sit around the table having a dinner with friends or family, if a smaller or bigger gathering, and then, oh, how were the holidays? So, well, yeah, let's go up to the living room and sit in front of a 4K huge television, and let's start to look at the pictures from our holidays. I mean, if you bring a book or if you bring some printed pictures to the table, each person can look at them in the pace they want to. And if they want to quicker through the book.
Mm-hmm.
So each has its own pace to look at, and probably also different interest of what they want to see.
And there's also one more thing to it. I mean, when you print your photos, and especially when you're preparing a book, you are surely already after a very conscious and strict selection of your own photos. So you are actually selecting the pictures which, you know, you find the best, or, you know, the. So when you invite somebody over to the computer, you know, upstairs, and then looking at the, you probably have a couple of hundreds of shots at least from your holidays.
Mm.
So you kind of have to scroll through them, and the people sitting up there.
They get bored.
They get bored. And you know it very well yourself.
To look at hundreds of photos.
Right. So guys, go ahead.
We all remember the old days with the VHS video recording of a wedding. 4 hours.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So boring.
Oh,
you know?
No.
Yeah,
nobody wants to see
the times,
it.
Right? No, I don't remember those times. I'm young. I don't remember those times.
Why not? Come on. I see a bit gray in your head.
Yeah,
come
well,
on.
Yeah, no. This is the...
And another thing, printed photos will last at least 100 years.
Mm.
So when you're in your 19s, you still can look at them.
Exactly.
You're not quite sure if you can, the computers then can read your files from now.
Probably not.
That's the interesting
part.
Yeah. But I mean, there will be.
When I could go up, I started out with a 3.5-inch floppy disk.
Yes.
And then you get the smaller one, after the 5.25 it was,
yeah.
And then you can't read it anymore.
Yeah,
I don't have the machine for it.
Yeah.
But
I saw this espionage thriller from the Netherlands, and they actually put the data on this big floppy disk. And then the bad guys got their hands on it. They didn't know how to read it. So they had to go in this very old secondhand store to buy this very old computer to read the file. But that can happen. Systems change, format changes.
That's true.
Hard disk, they break down probably
sure.
Now in 5 years' time.
Mm-hmm.
Have your photos printed. Mm-hmm. I mean, really. So.
The photos which mean you know the most to you, right? Especially the photos which you really you're happy with and you know proud of.
Your best selection, yeah.
Your
best
selection.
Selection
and
put them in a
yeah.
in a shoebox
mm-hmm.
and then store
yeah,
them
right.
away.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
In 10 years' time, you open the box and
mm-hmm.
you have all those great photos.
Yeah.
It's
guys, we have to slowly wrap it up the show
okay.
because we are
sure.
almost hitting the an hour, and I think our listeners were suggesting that we should keep it under an hour.
We shouldn't talk about 4 hours video recording on the wedding.
No.
The people get bored and we talk for about 4 hours.
Marcel, thanks so much for coming on the show.
I appreciated your invitation. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure for me to be with you guys.
It was great. If our listeners would like to have a look at your photography,
yes.
Where should they go? Do you have your photos online?
I have an account at 500pix.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as a little Facebook site.
Mm-hmm.
Not so many followers, and
mm-hmm.
also Instagram. So
right.
these three galleries.
We will link to all those sites in the
yeah.
in the show notes.
Yeah,
and,
be great.
And you're also hanging out in the Fujilab group. I saw you already a couple of times.
Yes, I do
right.
sometimes. Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Just to collect some flowers, you know. Fishing for compliments, as we all do, actually.
Sorry,
to interrupt you. I mean, why do we do photography? It's not just to keep it for ourselves, but also
no.
to share.
Absolutely.
What
that's
we
the
see.
Main, that's
what,
the main.
Yes.
thing, I say, right?
That's
it should be.
Why photography is made for.
Right.
Yeah.
Freek, where can people find you?
You can find me on the internet. I have a website, www.yourlocalphotographyguide.com. There are not that many photos on there, but I can post some. And you can find me on Facebook, and there you can find a lot
right.
about me.
And if you want to have a look what I'm into, go to my website, which is Tomasz, Tomasz dot photography. And of course, don't forget about fujilove.com. And we'll catch up with you guys next time. Thanks a lot.
Perfect.
Thank you
so much.
See you.
Thanks for listening to Fuji Love with your hosts, Tomasz and Frank. We'll catch you next time.